There are three little verses found in 1 Thessalonians 5 that hang together. Let me read them to you. Verses 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These three verses outline the Christian's duty in his Christian life. Rejoicing, praying, thanking. And as we shall learn this evening, as we give you a short study on inspiration, I believe that these three verses are written down in the order that God wanted them to be and the order that we should use them. The middle one seems to be the center pole from which the other two hang. One cannot rejoice evermore or be thankful in everything if he does not pray without ceasing. I know a lot of people are disturbed over that middle verse. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that we need to be a monk that sits and meditates and prays for 8, 10, 12, 16, 24 hours a day. But rather, as we live the Christian life, we need to be in the attitude of prayer at all times. Pray without ceasing. And let me read you a bit of doggerel, and that's not the right word that I want. A bit of poetry. There are few works that cannot be accompanied with prayer. There are few works that cannot be preceded with prayer. And there are no works that would not profit by prayer. Would you like to hear them again? There are few works that cannot be accompanied with prayer. There are few works that cannot be preceded by prayer. And there are no works that would not profit by prayer. When I was in my teens, there was a man who was the chairman of the Pocket's Testament League in Philadelphia. A man with four initials, George T.B. Davis. A great man of prayer. And I remember walking down the streets of Philadelphia with him, and we were talking about the things of the Lord, and Brother Davis says, "Let's pray." So there were two of us. He put his arms around us and he closed his eyes as we walked down the streets of Philadelphia and he prayed. Is that strange? No, not in the least. As I said to you, the rejoice always and in everything give thanks are on two sides of the exhortation that says, pray without ceasing. Thanksgiving is the exercise of a joyful and a praying heart. Thanksgiving is the exercise of a joyful and praying heart. It is the mark of the wicked that they are not thankful, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That comes out of Paul's exhortation and Paul's citing of facts from Romans 1 concerning the wicked. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, from 2 Timothy 3, 2. It is the mark of the saints in heaven. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. From Revelation 7. It is the mark of the saints on earth. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel 6:10. Note, as was his custom. Daniel did not begin to pray fervently toward Jerusalem 3 times a day just because he thought he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. But the word says, when he heard, knew the writing was signed, he went home to have his devotions. And he prayed toward Jerusalem, for that is where the temple had been. And he prayed fervently, his windows open, so that anyone else could see that he was praying. Thanksgiving must be universal in its sphere. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. Not only for the small or for the great. Yes, we rejoice when someone is marvelously and miraculously healed. We thank God. But many a time I've thanked the Lord that I wasn't seriously ill. And I'm still praising the Lord, even though I am not well as yet. I'm praising the Lord that He has given me the strength that He wants me to have. I must admit, I was discouraged last evening. Not discouraged because it was my privilege to speak to you this morning, but discouraged because I wasn't getting better. And then I had to remind myself, this is the way you are to be, was the word of the Lord. We need to thank the Lord for His protection, not only in the small things, but in the great things. For instance, if we come within inches of having an automobile accident, we ought to thank the Lord that we didn't have an accident. Little things. Or we need to thank the Lord when He gives us deliverance, protection, in the big things of life. We need to thank the Lord for His provision for our daily needs. I trust everyone in the hearing of my words returns thanks before they eat the food. I think when I eat at the dining room on Sunday noon, of a little Canadian woman that came down some years ago. Everyone went through the smorgasbord of vegetables, and this dear lady sat there until John Forrest returned thanks for the food. The rest of us, we began to eat. But she felt that she shouldn't eat until thanks was given for the food. During my college days, we had a man, a businessman by the name of Gurmels from New York City, that came and spoke in our chapel. And in the course of his introduction, he said, "You know, I was eating in a restaurant yesterday, and I bowed my head to return thanks for the soup before me. And a little waitress came up and tapped me on the shoulder and she said, 'Sir, is there something wrong with the soup?'" Or, back maybe 10 years ago, my brother gathered his family together, as many as were close enough, and they went out to our restaurant to eat and to celebrate my brother's birthday. And before they began to eat, one of the grandsons said, "Papa, are we going to sing?" Now, I must fill you in. There's a castle tradition when we all got together that we never ate unless we sang, "We thank you, Lord, for this, our food. God is love, God is love." Yes, come on, dear. "But most of all, for Jesus' blood, God is love, God is love. These mercies bless and grant that we may evermore live with you. God is love, God is love." I'm sorry I missed up on that. I should have written it down. And my brother said, "Sure, Nate. Let's sing." And there may have been a dozen people around the table, and if you know the castles, they can make a joyful noise. And they sang there in the open restaurant. Why not? Why not? Why not testify to the goodness of the Lord and make it public? We've been traveling a bit the past 2 weeks. And frequently we have seen people in another table from us bowing their heads and returning thanks. It's a good testimony. We should thank the Lord in all circumstances. Prosperity, adversity, joy, sorrow, health, sickness. Thanksgiving becomes very easy if you're amongst people who are thankful. But what if you're alone in the house of sorrow? The Word says, in everything, give thanks. In health and in sickness. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from Job 1. We need to be thankful for the past, for the present, for the future. Paul admonishes us in 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. First of all, for His virgin birth. Prophesied by Isaiah many hundreds of years before the event. Prophesied by Micah that He should be born in Bethlehem. And this event caused God to be incarnate with man and live as a man on this earth for over 30 years. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift of His life, or of His birth, and then of His life as He went about doing good, raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the ability to walk to the lame, for His life. And if we would listen to the liberals of the day, we would hear that this is sufficient. We should mimic His life. And as I read the Word of God, I find that I cannot mimic His life. I cannot raise the dead. But I can thank the Lord for His life that brought Him from heaven's glory and brought Him down to this earth to become a man, so that a man might die upon the cross of Calvary. As we learned in the service that preceded this, it was the cross that means everything. Everything that we have today is because Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. He died there for us. And again we can say, thanks be unto God for His death. And thanks be unto God for our salvation, which we have through His death. Many a time in my devotions, I praise the Lord that He's given me the assurance of my salvation. And I pause here this morning to give a challenge to anyone who might be here who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That salvation can be had this morning. Just by a simple statement to the Lord, Lord, come into my heart and save me. Save me because Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for me. And then realize that as many as received Him, To them gave He power to become the sons of God. You received Him. You are a child of God. And regardless of what the devil says to you, you have been saved. You've been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, thanks be unto God for the redemption of the body which we will have. Paul speaks of it in Romans 8, and he speaks of it again in 1 Corinthians 15. we speak of eternal life. Quality of life. You certainly wouldn't want to live forever in the body that you have right now. At least I wouldn't. But Paul says we're going to have a renewed body. A body that's made alive. And it's only because of Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, we shall be changed. When that's going to be, whether that's going to be before we leave the earth, on the way up, or when we get there, I don't know. But the Word of God says, thanks be unto God that our bodies will be changed. Now, let's go back to the passage. And in verse 18, we have the reason for this duty of thanksgiving. Paul says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To the Thessalonians, and to you, these duties, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, seems grievous. But Paul adds, this is the will of God. As a pastor, I was frequently asked, how can I know the will of God for me? And usually the questionnaire was seeking a statement in the Word of God that says, Joe, do this. Joe, go here. The Word of God does not tell us what God's will is for our lives. He gives us hints. He gives us admonitions. But he doesn't give us, Joe, be a bricklayer. But here in this verse, the Word of God tells us, this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. And in everything, give thanks. Now, earlier in the book, we read concerning the Thessalonians and their problem with those who have died before the coming of the Lord. And Paul answers that by giving us that glorious passage concerning the coming of the Lord for His saints. Yes, the Thessalonians lived in sorrow. They lived in prosperity. They lived in gladness of heart. But they laid aside their loved ones. And Paul reminds them, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And finally, let me read you a statement. Let us resolve to be more thankful for the future, not only for the great things, but for the little things in life. We have a bright future. September 11th, didn't cause us to have very much of brightness. But as children of God, we have a bright future. It might be dark right now. You might be going through the valley of the shadow of death. But there's an exit to the valley. Let us resolve to be thankful today. Not only today, not only next Thursday, when we are challenged to be universally thankful, but let us be thankful every day for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, we would thank you. We would praise you. We would adore your precious name. For Lord, you are worthy of our thanksgiving. You are worthy of our praise because you have saved us from our sins. You've given us a life, the promise of eternal life. And you've given us the promise of a blessed hope. Father, thank you for these challenges that come from your word this morning. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon each one of us. Lord, you know the trials through which we're going, the attitudes with which we are living and expressing. And Lord, may they be attitudes of thanksgiving. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.